The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975, at ESPN 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Or watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You missed the first hour, pretty sportsy, but hey, it was a sportsy weekend. Did you watch Wimbledon?
None.
I'm going to bet, I didn't listen. I would be willing to bet real money Charlie had some takes on that today.
Possibly. I didn't hear Charlie's show either. I didn't have a lot of time to commit to tennis this weekend.
Yeah, I just watched the England Italy match was my off the wall thing because I have a bunch of friends from England and they were not happy campers after the penalty kicks. We talked about it on Twitch a little bit. It was kind of funny how England basically brought in two guys just for the penalty kicks, and they both choked. And they only got two out of the five, and they lose.
Not wise, guys.
And it's basically, my description was it's like you bringing in two pinch runners on second and third with nobody out, and somehow they both get thrown out on the base paths. It's kind of what it was.
It's happened.
But, of course, then... Yeah, and now I don't know how bad it's been, but there was some racist crap that came out for the three guys who missed the kicks. But there's also been a lot of support for those guys. So I wish people wouldn't be racist.
Well, that would be nice, but yeah. That's unlikely.
I mean, I wish you'd be mad at them because they sucked. It had nothing to do with the color of their skin. But yeah,
When I did see that Djokovic won the Wimbledon thing. The Wimbledon thing.
That Wimbledon thing?
The tournament of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
When I saw that he won it, it got me thinking, like, he's got to be up there now. And in my head, now this is in hindsight, like now that I've looked it up, I was like, oh, that was silly. I thought Roger Federer had the most Grand Slam wins by a good sight. He's tied for the most with Nadal at 20.
And Djokovic
has 18.
I mean, it's...
And it seems like one of those guys is still the best guy in the world. Djokovic is going to... I mean, is it possible that he's going to end up being the best tennis player ever?
Well, I would have never thought this because, you know, there have been so many great ones that have... And let's say male tennis player because I think that's a different discussion. But that was the 20th for Djokovic.
Was it 20?
Yeah, he's tied with the other
guys. So they're all tied now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible to me.
And he's won two this year?
Yeah, I believe so.
So yeah. He's, I mean, and now mind you, we don't say that it's automatic. You're the best ever if you've got the most majors or what do we do? Is that the deal with golf? Do we still consider Jack Nicklaus better than Tiger? I don't know.
I mean, I think Tiger at his best was better than Jack ever was. The problem was he got hit in the head with a putter and was never the same. And so his best didn't last nearly as long as Jack's.
It's just crazy to me to think about guys like there was a time when people were like, man, Jimmy Connors might be the greatest tennis player in the history of time. And he had eight. You know, Andre Agassi had eight.
Boris Becker.
Boris Becker, like he didn't even have eight. He's not even on like the leaderboard. He was my favorite. Pete Sampras has 14.
Yeah,
he was the best from that era. But I mean, these new guys are just smoking him. And the craziest thing is, they're kind of all peers. They've all been playing each other for all these years.
And that's what makes it, as Charlie would say, remarkable. He the fact that all three of these guys have 20 in an era with two other guys with 20.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So, anyway, I just thought it was worth a mention. It's pretty incredible. And you know, I don't follow the sport. I actually prefer women's tennis when I do watch tennis. But when you just look at what the guys accomplished, and to me, that's how you judge somebody, right? What have they accomplished? It's not, boy, what he could have done. You know, boy, what Tiger could have done if he hadn't gone off the rails and then got hurt. It's okay, what did he accomplish? Well, pretty much the second greatest collection of major wins in history.
Yeah.
You combine it with everything else, I can make a case that Tiger's the greatest ever. But, you know, this way I think you can argue for all three of them, but I don't think Djokovic is done.
I don't think so either.
And
I don't know if Federer or Nadal is totally washed either, and they may have like a resurgence coming or something like that, but Djokovic still seems like he is the best guy.
Well, and here's one thing that I find interesting is these guys are all playing at a high level later into their 30s now than when even you were growing up. You pretty much, they were running backs back in the day. You hit 30 years old, you were done. And these guys are all very effective. So, all right. I wanted to get to your air-humping quarterback.
Mm.
He's in the news.
There he is.
Okay, first off, if you're a Packers fan or a Bears fan, you need to be very afraid of your future.
Yep.
Because the air humper is in Austin training with Jordan Love and Justin Fields. Now, I get that they all have the same agent.
Yeah.
But I think the last guy that I want influencing my young quarterback right now is air humper.
Yep.
So
they probably keep him away.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, listen, man, you got to take the good the good with the bad, because obviously he can teach your guy a lot about football, but
can he teach him the facts of life too?
It's not preferable. Not preferable. Yeah,
the last thing you want to see is, hey, let's get on Instagram, see if we can't find ourselves a masseuse. But hey, I mean, I don't know. He's obviously, he's got to keep working out, but it feels kind of pointless, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, you got to stay in shape and get out there and throw the football. That's great. But I mean, we're not going to see this guy on a football field this year. I don't think.
I wouldn't imagine. And I've been saying that for months.
Yeah.
I don't imagine that we'll see him on a field.
And you tech CPA, Fred, would you prefer Mingo? Yeah, that's not exactly the greatest story in the world.
Boy, we need to save that for another segment. That's a whole different conversation. That's former Texan Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah, who came here in a trade for...
They traded Jadeveon Clowney for that guy to help the culture of the team. Seems like some misjudgment of culture there.
Shout out to the fish.
I don't know who's supposed to be responsible for that. That's funny right there. But you remember when they almost never had problem guys and they would go out of their way to try to... Now you've got an alleged sexual harasser / assaulter. You know, Mingo, this thing's bad. We'll get to that in a minute.
Remember the worst guy on the team got caught smoking weed in the hotel and they got kicked off because it was college, basically? That was your worst guy at the time? Trade for those guys immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, well... And I remember that it was one of the things that Bob McNair was always straightforward about. It's like, you know, we don't want people who've been involved in domestic abuse or something like that. If you've smoked weed, that's all right.
No, I mean, it's not like they knew what Barkevious Mingo was up to.
No.
But
in most cases, I'm sure they didn't know until pretty late in the game that Deshaun was rubbing people the wrong way. So, when would the NFL need to announce a Deshaun suspension? We're only 8 weeks away from the season to start. The NFL doesn't have to really do anything here. And that's what makes it kind of a weird situation. But if you're, you know, your Texans fan, ideally you'd like them to say, all right, he's suspended for 6 games. And then that way, You don't have to worry about him reporting to camp and going through all that. And then when you get to the trading deadline, if somebody wants to unload a bunch of picks for him because their quarterback got hurt and they think they can still win, okay.
Yeah.
And if not, you know, I don't know what you do at that point. But it's going to drag out because I just don't think – I said this when this first happened. It's going to take a couple of years for all these things to sort out. I mean, the you don't get lawsuit, court date done in a month. It just doesn't happen. So, I think...
I mean, they get it all done in an hour. Why didn't we get that done?
Well, you know, here's a dirty little secret they don't tell you when you're watching Law & Order or Law & Order SVU or the really good Law & Order UK. Is most of those things play out over months. It kind of gets condensed into an hour on TV.
I'll write that down in my notebook.
Yeah, you should, because I'm quite the expert on Law & Order. So, if the NFL doesn't need to do anything, he could theoretically play, but he has made it clear he doesn't want to be here, so he's probably not going to report. And... you know, and then they have to decide whether he's on some kind of suspended list or whether or not, you know, they're going to try to recruit money from him or what. I mean, that's the NFL's only real interest here is do they need to step in? But I don't know how you make a decision on a suspension when you don't have the facts.
No.
And you don't know. And you don't know how things are going to play out. It may turn out that they all get dropped at some point. But... I think realistically, there's going to be some settlements. And then with those settlements, how much of an admission of guilt is there? And the league can spin you whatever they want. You know, they don't have to go by what the law says. So, Total Dallas, I could theoretically get on Instagram and look for a Deshaun special with all due respect. And somebody asked, when is the NFL investigation going to be done? I don't know, because they haven't really said anything. And it's been all quiet on pretty much every front ever since, and all these court dates are set for next year. So, realistically, you're looking at next offseason. What the hell is that commercial?
Oh. I don't know.
New Disney movie with The Rock and Blunt.
You know, I was randomly watching last night while I was drowning my sorrows after losing the championship game, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. There's the cougar in the car.
Yeah. I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
When he tells him, he's like, he can sense your fear. If you're not afraid, you'll be fine. And then the cougar just rips his ass.
Oh, man. I was randomly watching something called some Russian show dubbed in English called Major Grom, the plague doctor. It's about a cop. And the story I actually enjoyed, but it's, man... We've got to, with all the technology we have to figure out a better way to do dubbing. And like this one, they totally half-ass because they dub it in English. But when they show the newspaper clips and everything, they're all in Russian.
Right.
And so, like at least some of the other stuff I've watched, they'll do an overlay in English of what it says so you can figure out the headlines. So there's a bunch of stuff that you really had no idea what was going on. But I actually enjoyed the story itself. It's just so off-putting to hear, all right, we must arrest him now. It's like, dude, are you guys using robots for that? Oh, you need to get a real human being like Dr. Linville if you want to fix things. And let me tell you something. You don't want to be trusting your hair to some robot. No. Dr. Linville is going to go and get your hair back. It's that simple. He's going to take the hairs that are on the back of your head. He's going to put them to where... they're not on your head, and it's your own hair. So it looks natural. It's basically all you're doing is moving hair from where it is to where it isn't. And it's a really cool procedure. It's called the NeoGraft procedure. And if you go to 975hair.com, you'll get a free consultation. And make sure you listen to what he has to say about the whole procedure. You can get it done in a day. You're back at work the next day, and it doesn't take long at all for that hair to start growing out. And the thing is, when you do talk to him, you know, let him tell you the whole story. He had it done too, and his hair looks fantastic. And this is a good way to get through summer, man. Go and get it done, and once it grows back out, people are going to say, wow, you look younger. You look better. And you can say, yeah, thank you. Yeah. 975hair.com. That's where you need to go. Get your hair back today, 975hair.com. Mm-hmm.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's the time you gotta go and show you grow, and now you know about the facts of life. The facts of life.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And somebody was asking about any home run derby picks.
I like Pete Alonso over Salvador Perez head-to-head. I had a buddy talk to me about it, and then some of the guys from pregame were on like an email thread, and they were talking about it. And it makes a lot of sense. Pete Alonso is a guy who's won this thing before. He's the only guy in the event who's done the event before. He's probably the best home run hitter in this thing, like as far as just pure power hitter. And Salvador Perez is a catcher who's played a long season. He's played more games. He's had more at-bats than anyone in the home run derby. Pete Alonso's had significantly fewer ABs. When you talk about who should be more rested, who's probably in better shape at this point of the season, it's got to be the younger guy who's played less games. So Pete Alonso, I think it was minus 175 when I took some of it. I think there's some real value even at that number for Pete Alonso to beat Salvador Perez in the opening round matchup.
Yeah, I had, you know how they always send us the odds for stuff like that?
Yep.
And I had it right here in front of me, and now it's disappeared because I wanted to get into that a little bit. But I would totally love to find some angle to play here, but you know what, if I watch it on mute, I'll be fine.
Yeah,
I just, it's that dude has so ruined this thing for me. It's just so awful. But yeah, I don't have any insight. Excuse me. But I'm trying to stick to my guns and not bet any baseball.
Well, the home run derby is not really baseball.
No,
it's like betting a 3-point contest. It's not really betting the NBA. It's a silly prop bet.
I don't really bet that either. So I tend to stay away from it.
Just That's fair.
Because then the worst thing in the world is you have a little success with something like that, and you think, oh, well, maybe I'll do this.
Well, I mean, honestly, here's what I'll say about betting the home run derby versus, and I think it's a much safer play to bet the home run derby than it is the All-Star game. Because there's not going to be any random pitching changes or subbing guys out just to get guys playing time. Like, the home run derby is the BP coach that guy picked and the player. And that's it. So there's less likelihood of injury. There's less likelihood of injury to the pitcher. I mean, it's about as straightforward as you can get for a baseball-related bet. Right. There's no umpires to worry about. So,
well, here's some props for you. Right now, to win the whole thing, Alonso plus 450.
Okay. I don't hate that.
The league of the winner, National plus 170.
Who in there? I thought there was like, is there 5-3 this year? I don't think it's split even 4-4.
Ohtani, Gallo, Alonso, Olson, Perez, Soto, Story, Mancini.
Is that 3-5?
Yeah, I think that's 3-5.
Yeah.
Least amount of home runs in round one, 12.5. Under is plus 110.
The least amount in round one?
Yeah.
I'd take the under that. Yeah. It is at Coors, though. Oof.
Yeah. Which I think, obviously, they built into that.
Yeah.
Here's your...
But some guy is going to blow it. I'll still go under. Right.
Least home runs in first round. Mancini plus 300. Perez plus 330. Soto plus 370, Story plus 500, Olson plus 600, Alonso plus 700, Otani and Gallo plus 900.
I think Salvador Perez may be the play there.
Plus 330. Nothing wrong with that. Longest home run in the contest, over 517 and a half feet, minus 180.
It'll go over that.
Longest home run in round one, Otani plus 150. Alonso's plus 600.
So, what's Joey Gallo?
Plus 220.
He's probably the guy.
Most homers in the first round. That's Otani 200, Gallo 250, Alonso 500. Anybody else interest you?
No.
Yeah. Over 25 and a half for the most is minus 130. I'm going to hit 25. Okay. And then we've got some matchups. Okay, you did.
I'm doing Alonso over Perez.
That's minus 250 on here now. Oof. Yeah.
Well.
People heard you talking. So, Otani minus 350 against Soto.
What's the comeback on Soto?
270.
Boy, that's tempting.
Gallo minus 250, Story 175 plus.
Boy, give me Gallo. I think that dude's winning the first round. I think he'll gas out as it goes, but that he's like the most corn-fed pure masher in the thing, I think.
Matt Olson minus 210, Trey Mancini plus 170.
I certainly wouldn't bet Matt Olson minus 210, no. But Trey Mancini's also not a guy I'm looking to bet on. So I'm glad I got in where I did. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think you got a good number. Alonso is minus 250, Perez plus 175.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're not going to eat 250 on Alonso. No. There's better bets to make on him, which I think we're already out there. So there. And then it's got home run totals here for each guy. All this is on BetUSR if you want to go check it out. But it's got odds to reach the finals. Otani minus 110, Alonso plus 220, Perez 500, Soto 500. And Gallo's 130 second favorite. So there you have it. And then there's the exact outcome about this. If you think it's going to be Otani over Joey Gallo, plus 550.
Ooh.
So
what's Alonso over Gallo?
Let's see. Alonso over Gallo is plus 1520.
I might put down a couple bucks on that. Take a little swing.
Yeah. So basically,
I'm fading Otani tonight is what I'm doing.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to win the home run contest.
So
you know why?
Why?
Doesn't speak English.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how are you supposed to win, right, Stephen A.? How are you supposed to win a home run eating contest? You can't even speak English. What, like, because the MLB does not want him accepting that trophy and having the interpreter to accept the award. They don't want that.
I don't have Google Translate up anymore.
Domi Origato Pelota. That's how you say home run ball.
So if you're going to fade him, Alonso over Gallo plus 1520, Alonso over Matt Olson plus 2020.
What's Gallo over Alonso?
Gallo over, so you have these out of order, so I have to go find them. But where's Gallo over Alonso? It was like 2,700. No, the big number's on there.
I'm going to drop a little on both those outcomes. Both the exact is...
No, that's Soto. Gallo, okay. You want...
Gallo over Alonso.
Gallo over Alonso. Okay, I'm having a hard time finding that on here.
Maybe that's impossible.
It's possible, because they've got him over Perez and...
Are they lined up to meet in the finals? Or
like, I don't think so, but...
Because it's not bracketed, right? It depends. Like, it can change. That's the other... So, like, the person who hit the most home runs goes against the person who hit the least? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Or is it just bracketed down?
So this is why I don't bet on it.
That's a good point.
I don't know the rules. But I'm guessing that's the case.
Let's see. Home run derby bracket. No, it's a bracket.
Okay, so there you go. That's why.
The left side is... Yeah, so it could be Gallo over Alonso.
Okay.
So... I'm either going Gallo over Alonso or Alonso over Gallo. I'm going to make a little play on both
those. You're getting big numbers on both those.
Okay.
Homer run. That's how you say it. Homer run. I mean, I don't know if that's how you say it. That's how it's spelled. So, why do I feel like you guys are going to get me canceled?
I don't know.
All I'm doing is translating. Yeah. All right. Guys, I have to tell you about carsforkids.com. And happy to have these guys back on the station. And listen, school's about to get going again. You want to do something really cool. Donate your vehicle. Doesn't have to be running. They'll take all kinds of vehicles, cars, motorcycles, and trucks. Just go to carsforkids.org, or you can give them a call, 713-225-4226. Your donation is going to benefit the Houston Can Academies. These are all local kids. And if you mention ESPN Houston, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card as a thank you for your donation. And here's the deal. They'll pick up the vehicle for free. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. You get a tax write-off. And if you don't have the title, it's not a big deal. They'll do the title work for you, including the search and transfer. And you get that $50 Visa gift card in addition to getting your tax write-off. So go to carsforkids.org or give them a call, 713-225-4226. Right off the car, not the kid.
Yes, buggy. Cookie wall. I can mark it, stick this spark and do no talking. Watch me hit the target mark.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
I just saw something regarding the McGregor fight that really kind of fascinated me. Ronda Rousey tweeted after the fight and said, I'm amazed that as soon as you hit the ground, you were already promoting the next fight at the Notorious MMA. I definitely wouldn't have had the mind to do that. The other fighters, UFC and media, are lucky to have you. And then someone replied with, birds of a feather. Let me clarify. I'm a Conor fan. Love him or hate him, I believe him to be one of the very best MMA fighters of all time. I believe the same about Ronda, but, and it's a big but, long-term growth comes from honest self-evaluation. It's not surprising that he and she are the same following, you know, as far as it comes to self-evaluation. They both have an inability to accept simple truths. The people around Ronda were enablers. The people around Conor are following the same path and even applauding the same temper tantrums that only lead to self-destruction. The frail veil of invincibility has once again been lifted. It's pretty accurate.
Who said that now?
CSA Jim said it, and that is it's an owner at a gym, an MMA gym in California, and he's a striking coach from The Ultimate Fighter. So guy who's been around the sport a little bit. But it's really kind of true. Like if you continue to tell yourself what happened didn't really happen. Connor said something before the fights that made me laugh. And it's something I fundamentally disagree with, like on the deepest level. He said, I'm 19-1 because only knockouts matter in this game. That's the only thing that's real. That's the only way to truly end a fight. Submissions, decisions, he says, this is all nonsense. Knockouts, that's the true game. I've always, I argued this with Alex Morano for a long time because he loves to finish guys by knockout. He loves to put guys away. And he's a guy who is a black belt in jiu-jitsu who often doesn't use jiu-jitsu in MMA fights because it's... He loves the violent aspect of just knocking someone's head off. And I said, I don't think there's any more definitive finish to a fight than a submission, because you can, there can be a fight called a knockout or a TKO where the ref jumps in and saves a guy, and the guy is like, dude, I wasn't even out. We hear that all the time.
Right.
We hear guys argue all the time that they could have kept fighting. When you submit somebody, they quit in the middle of the fight. They tap on your arm or on the mat or on somewhere, and they say, I don't want to fight you anymore because I don't have a way to win this fight. To me, that's as definitive of an ending as you can have. And for Conor to still say those losses aren't real, like where Khabib squeezed my head off and I tapped, that's not a real loss because he didn't knock me out. You quit in the middle of a fight because there was no way for you to win it. That is the most definitive loss you can have. And the fact that he is still like, that's not a real loss, and his coaches are like, I thought Conor executed the game plan to perfection in round one. Two of the three judges scored that round as a 10-8 round. The one round that got fought was a 10-8 round on two out of the three cards. He got his ass whooped in that round. And his coaches, John Kavanaugh, was like, yeah, I thought that everything was going his way. I think he was on his way to finishing Dustin Poirier. What? You talk about enabling? That is as big of an enabler as you can get. You, at some point, you have... otherwise, if Conor walks away from that fight thinking, I did everything right, and it was just a bad break, my leg broke, if that wouldn't have happened, I was on my way to winning that fight, how do you get better? Like, if you really think that you had it all figured out and you just got hit by the bad luck bug, how do you get better? You can't. Because if you think you've got it all figured out, there's nothing to push you. And I think Conor and Ronda did the same thing. Everything came so easy to Ronda. And then when it started to fall apart, she came up with reasons why it was falling apart and it wasn't real. And then eventually it happens enough that it's, well, everyone else thinks it's real. Now go be in WWE.
Yeah, I think there's a key difference here. I think Rousey almost broke down after a couple losses. Like that, once that invincibility was gone.
I mean, Conor just sat in the ring saying he didn't lose the fight while his leg was dangling. Like he said after the fight, that's not a real stoppage. Like,
yeah,
that's not a definitive win.
No, I see what you're saying, but I think I'm talking about a different point. I don't think that. I mean, I think that, yeah, they're surrounded by a bunch of enablers. But I also think the fall for Rousey was different because she started going down a path where she lost all confidence in what she was doing. And because I think she had been built up by her success and by her own people so much that when she lost the first one, it was like, okay, that's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden you lose another one and you can almost see her deteriorate right there in front of us. I think McGregor's kind of going the opposite direction. He's not going to admit that he's done.
I think the real difference between the two is Ronda was embarrassed to lose. Like she did not want to be a person who accepted that losing was a real option. And when you look back at Ronda's career and you see that she was 12-2 and her two losses were to Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes, it's not like Holly Holm or like it's not like Ronda Rousey didn't have a great MMA career regardless. I mean, she was a pioneer, she was an unbelievable talent. The difference was she didn't want to keep, she was afraid to keep losing. Conor doesn't care about that. Conor just pretends like it didn't really happen.
And I guess that's kind of what I was getting at, because it losing just was too much for her to handle.
But what Conor's doing is minimizing the fact that he's losing. This guy has, I mean, if you count the Mayweather fight, which I guess, you know what, let's not count that. He still lost three out of his last four fights. The guy that he beat was Donald Cerrone, who has not had a win in his last six fights. So, like, where's he headed is the real question. There was a buildup. The buildup to to, you know, him knocking out Aldo. And then when he lost to Nate Diaz, it was easy to say, well, we fought at 170 pounds. You know, I went from 145 to 170 pounds. No one really got on him too harshly for that. And he got that Nate Diaz, went back. He beat Eddie Alvarez, became the world champion at 155. And then Khabib just dismantled him. And the excuses were immediately, oh, he shot for the legs 20 seconds in. It was just that's all he wanted to do. And then Dustin Poirier, he shot as well. It just seems like suddenly there's these excuses pile up for why these wins or why these losses weren't real losses, why they don't really count. I just think it's a real lack of self-awareness. And to me, if you're going to be a premier level athlete, self-awareness has to be a part of what you want. Like, it really has to be a strength, because if you're not aware of your weaknesses, you'll never improve on them.
See, I'll take a different tack on this. I think, what is he first and foremost?
He's a showman. He's a prize fighter.
And how do you keep people buying your stuff?
Well, I mean, there was one way, which is to win fights a lot.
But if you're not going to win fights and you're still trying to sell things,
I guess that's the way to do it.
Right. I mean, you don't want to say, oh, well, he beat my ass. Because people believe anything. You know that. You know there's people out there that buy the doctor stoppage that are McGregor fans. So, you know what? Yeah, I think he was winning that fight.
But it's funny, because when he lost to Nate Diaz the first time, he said, I'm a champion. I'm going to take this loss as a champion. This game has the highest highs, the lowest lows. That's why I love this game so much. Now that the losses are starting to pile up and the highest highs don't come anymore, it's like, uh-oh. Now we're just going to pretend like we didn't really lose. I don't know. I don't like it. I can't imagine that it's somehow a healthy mindset, especially for someone who fights for a living.
Well, I don't know that, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is how much longer does he want to do this? Does he want to keep collecting checks? He's still got to be able to sell these fights. And you're not going to be able to sell a fight where it's like, boy, that guy just kicked my ass and snapped my leg in half. You could sell that fight when you lose a championship. You can't sell that when you just lost a trilogy fight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's, and that's what he's been his whole career. But, I mean, the difference is now is he's going to slide down that, you know, not as interesting list, unless you can keep giving people a reason to watch. And that's why when Rousey tweeted about it, I found it interesting when she said, yeah, I couldn't have done that. It's like, no, you couldn't have. Because she was so devastated by the losses. The fact that she only had two and it chased her away ought to tell you something.
And a couple of people are mentioning that Connor says submissions aren't real, but then he tried for the guillotine. Which is true, and that may have been some kind of gamesmanship by Connor to make him think that he wasn't, he's been working on his guillotine. I was watching the fight with my buddy Gary. As soon as, Gary's like, oh, that's deep. I said, there is zero chance in this world that Connor McGregor will submit Dustin Poirier with a guillotine choke. There's not a world where that can happen. And of course, it didn't happen. Dustin's been a black belt since, I don't even know how long, a lot longer than I've been doing jiu-jitsu. Like, he's a legit black belt. Connor is not. That was not going to happen. But I still think it was him trying to make it seem like he's not falling apart the way that people think he might be. But I don't know that he's a viable, as long as people pay for the fights, he's a viable headliner. But at some point, are we going to see Conor McGregor as a plus 300 underdog against somebody? Are people going to pay for that? I don't know.
Which is why you have to. That's why you have to do shtick, and you have to keep selling like that while your leg's sitting there broken. Say, if I don't break my leg, I win the fight.
Except he was getting his ass beat before the fight, before that happened.
Yeah, but you know how people see what they want to see and hear what they want to hear, and reality doesn't matter. I guarantee a Connor fan is sitting there going, oh, no, he could have won that fight. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We come back, we'll have a giveaway and a gym of the day.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
The Midsummer Classic. The 2021 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Live from Denver, Colorado.
Tuesday at 6 on ESPN 92.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Superstar world champion Jermell Charlo looks to make boxing history in his home state of Texas when he defends his super welterweight world title against undefeated WBO world champion Brian Castano. Make sure to get your tickets. Get your tickets now to see the action live at attcenter.com or ticketmaster.com. So you want two tickets to the fights in San Antonio. We'll go 555, caller 5. Rocky on sent me a message. And one last thing. Does it seem like an athlete, especially a fighter, gets more extreme or bizarre in his antics when he's trying to stay relevant in this sport?
It does happen a lot. I mean, all athletes do that, though. They get crazier the further away they get from relevance.
Yeah, but I mean, it does
seem... Think about Larry Johnson, former Chiefs running back. What a loon he is now.
Well,
a lot of that could be CTE, which you could say for most fighters. CTE is a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, and he mentioned Tyson, but man... Bernard Hopkins went weird on us. A lot of those guys go straight. Floyd even. You know, Floyd's even gotten weird. No, Floyd always was kind of weird. All right. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, I guess we do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day here, but I do have Stephen A. Smith's apology.
Well, let's do that first. We can do the gym in the 6 o'clock.
Should I do it in Stephen A. voice?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Stephen A. tweeted this out, and it says, "I'm sincerely sorry." And then he's got a note attached. "Let me apologize right now. As I'm watching things unfold, let me say that I never intended to offend any community." And any community is all capitalized. That's why I say it. Any community. Particularly the Asian community. And especially Shohei Ohtani himself. As an African-American, keenly aware of the damage stereotyping has done to many in this country, it should have elevated my sensitivities even more. Based on my words, I failed in that regard, and that's on me. And me alone, that's on me. Ohtani is one of the brightest stars in all of sports. He is making a difference as it pertains to inclusiveness. That's a key word right there. And leadership. I should have embraced that in my comments. Instead, I screwed up. Okay, I screwed up. In this day and age, with all the violence being perpetrated against the Asian community, my comments, albeit unintentional, were clearly insensitive and regrettable. There's simply no other way to put it. I'm sincerely sorry for any angst I've caused with my comments on First Take this morning. Again, I am sorry. And I'll happily reiterate these words more extensively tomorrow morning as well.
I don't need you to be more extensive. You know what?
What he really means is, I'll say that again on my show tomorrow because I will not be suspended from that show. I will be there tomorrow to make this apology live and in person. How was my Stephen A., first of all?
Not bad, not bad. There's a couple parts which sort of drifted into OJ, but for the most part, I would say it's a success. But, I mean... I mean, that's a crappy ass ESPN told me to apologize apology. Just come out and say, you know what, that was pretty dumb. You know, and going out of your way to say, oh, especially at this time against hating. That's just so.
He did a lot of things in there that bothered me. He threw in the as an African-American, which is basically saying, listen, guys, you can't call me racist. I'm a black guy. And then he said.
Yeah, he did do that. He basically said, I'm a black guy, therefore I can't be racist.
Trust me, I know the struggle. You know, inclusiveness is such a buzzword. I can't imagine, like, and that's stuff that tells me that he didn't write this thing.
Of course not.
And then he brought up all the violence against the Asian community. And then he said insensitive and regrettable. Mm-hmm. Those are not Stephen A. words.
No.
I don't believe that.
No.
But hey, I mean, I guess. Who am I to spit in the face of an apology? I said he should probably apologize. It's just
that's somebody at ESPN wrote that out for him.
I'm
basically.
Guessing so, yeah.
And he read it word for word, and I'm sure he did it just as passionately as you did. I'm sure it was all that. So, yeah.
Rico said, AJ said, as an African American, while quoting Stephen A. Smith. You know, somebody just tuned in and was like, "Damn, the new host is a black dude." Well, listen, I'm very convincing, Rico.
You know, if he were really, you know, wanting to apologize, all he had to do was say, "Antoni Goman Nasai." That means I am truly sorry in Japanese.
Okay, well,
there you go. You didn't need to do all that. That would have been respectful, right?
That would have been the respectful thing to say. I think yes.
Yeah. Oh boy. And Hip Hop Hercules says Stephen A says it's on him and on him alone, but that take was produced and even had images and stuff, so it's not on him alone. People okayed that. But he's the face of the franchise, right? He's ESPN's golden guy. And that's, you know, you have to take the heat for that whether you did it or not. Now that won't stop him from I'm sure he's done this before where he's pushed it off on a producer when something's gone wrong. But that's still your take. But Astro Egg's waiting for Stephen A. to start male golfer, female golfer food on the show. Male golfer. Male golfer, female golfer, or Google Translate. That's the game there. But, oh, poor Marine, he got hacked.
Yeah, that's what he should have said. Yeah.
Hey, can
that was, that was a robot, Stephen A., on television. You know I believe in robots, Max. That was a robot. No doubts about it. I'm getting a lot of that sounded like Pacino. Doesn't Stephen A. Smith kind of sound like Black Pacino a little bit? When he gets riled up? Kind of does.
Hmm.
Oh, Stephen A. made a video. I need to find that.
Oh, yeah, we need to hear the, we need okay. the video. When then we can compare notes and see just how close it was. So, hey, guys, I got to tell you about new brakes.
New brakes.
And we can all agree on this. The new brakes is awesome. That now you don't want to go sit in a dealership or a shop for like 2 hours to get your brakes fixed. When you can have new brakes come to you and you're going to get quality work. You're going to save 20 to 50% off of what you would pay if you went to that shop or that dealer. And they're going to come and fix it at your house, at your work, whatever's convenient for you. You're going to get a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. They've got certified, experienced brake technicians. And everybody who's used new brakes has sent me the same thing. These guys are great. They even explained everything to us. It was no surprises with the bill. And we saved a bunch of money. They were super nice. They were quick. And that's what new brakes is. If you go to newbrakes.com, NUBRAKES.com, mention ESPN or mention me, you're going to get 10% off your service. They're going to reach out to learn more within a couple of minutes, and you're going to get a transparent, surprise-free repair quote. Newbrakes.com, NUBRAKES.com, mention ESPN, 10% off.
ESPN 97.5.